This episode of Fight Night Picks is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Head on over to firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouth Guards. Definitely the best boil and bite mouth guard I've ever had. Head on over to their website. It's sisuguard.com and use the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order today.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. It's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Craig Allen.
It is Thursday, October 18th, and I have three very special guests joining me today. We have Bellator's Javi Ayala, Jordan Young, and from KSW, Alan Murphy. So, let's get into it. And welcome to another very special episode of Fight Night Picks. I'm your host, Craig Allen. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CraigAllenFNP. And don't forget, before Sunday, head on over to fightnamepicks.net. And at the shop, there's a 10% off. You got to use the coupon code FNP10. And like I said, that's good until Sunday. So really looking forward to this episode. Got a chance to speak with Bellator light heavyweight. He's undefeated, 9-0, Jordan Young. Looking for a fight on the horizon. Hopefully we can hear some fight news soon. Also had a chance to speak with Javi Ayala, Bellator heavyweight. He's got a fight coming up against Frank Mir, and it just so happened. And I said to him as much. I mean, it just so happened that we were talking last week, and then a couple hours later, the fight news broke. As well, at the end of the episode, we're going to be joined by Alan Murphy, International Communications Manager with KSW. Had a chance to speak with him on the show a couple of months ago. And so we had a chance to recap KSW 45 as well as preview KSW 46 and some of the other interesting things happening with KSW. They've got a lot on their plate, a lot going on, and I'm really looking forward to it from the Polish MMA promotion. But before we go too far, reminder, tomorrow, October 19th, Ty O'Keefe and I are going to be hosting a show on Dialogue. It's going to be a micro series on bare knuckle boxing. We have great guests, Tony Kryptonite Lopez. We have Maurice the Gorilla Jackson, Christina Marks. She was featured on season 26 of The Ultimate Fighter, as well as Jeff Houston, ring announcer. He was on the podcast way back in the spring. He's also involved with ACB and Road FC. So really looking forward to that. And it's going to be a great event on getdialogue.am. All you have to do if you want to join the website is you just go on there, getdialogue.am, sign in with your Twitter and start a dialogue. And if you're interested or if you have any issues, just reach out to me. Like I said, at Craig Allen FNP on Twitter and on Instagram. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation with Jordan Young and see what he has to say about the Bellator light heavyweight division. Thanks so much for joining me. So right now, I mean, you're 9-0 so far to start off your MMA career, spread out over welterweight, middleweight, and slowly moving into light heavyweight. You know, three straight submission wins. Did the catchweight fights that you had at 195, did that help you out, like fighting Tim Caron and Alec Kubin?
Yeah, those helped me out a ton. And you know what they helped me with? Honestly, I think that those fights, they helped me learn that I wasn't a middleweight. You know what I mean? Those fights helped me learn the transition, and it was like my progression, 170 and then 185, 195, 200, and then 205 pounds. So it was a nice, slow, progressive transition.
Do you think 205 is where you're going to stay for the long term?
Yeah, you know, I'm at 205 pounds, but I do believe that I'm optimistic that the 195-pound division is right around the corner. I think that once that division gets introduced to MMA, I think that's going to rejuvenate the sport. I think that new stars are going to reemerge in all the new divisions, 65, 95, because how many times have you seen fighters like, let's say like a Robert Whittaker, he was fighting at 170 pounds and went to a decision with guys like Mike Biggie Rhodes, who aren't that high level. And then, you know, he transitions to 185 pounds and now he's knocking out, you know, Jacare and fighting to decision with Yoel Romero. So I think that my point is that with these new divisions, guys are going to find their stride and it's going to better fit them. And I think I'm one of those guys. I'm doing well at 205 and I think that I will do well at 205, but I believe that ultimately 85 is too small for me. 205 right now is a little bit too big for me compared to some of the guys at the top of the division. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the 195 division be implemented in some of the bigger promotions. You know, kind of locally, New England Fights up here, they just announced that they're going to add the 225 division. So they're going to have a title fight coming up here soon in November. I'm really looking forward to that. And I think, like you said, we're going to have a lot more stars. So moving on, I mean, finals for the Heavyweight Grand Prix, they were just announced yesterday for January 26th in the Forum in Inglewood. I'd like to get your thoughts on, you know, how you think the Heavyweight Grand Prix is going, but also the fact that at the top of 205, you got Ryan Bader, who's still competing in this tournament.
Yeah, Ryan Bader, you know, it works out well, in my opinion, because I don't think there's a clear-cut challenger for the belt at 205 right now. Everybody is booked to fight each other. Liam's fighting Mo. The Russian kid is fighting Phil Davis. You know, my next fight is to be announced. So everybody is busy. Ryan Bader, he's who I had to win. You know, King Mo is one of my teammates. So that fight, obviously, I was like just sitting back to watch. But the winner of that fight, I had winning the tournament. So I'm not surprised to see Ryan Bader there. I think that Fedor is the toughest fight that he's had yet in the tournament. But Ryan Bader's a beast, and I think that he's really finding his stride and his confidence. And there's a good chance that he'll be the winner of this tournament.
Do you think he's going to stick around at heavyweight or move back down to light heavyweight?
Honestly, I think he is a light heavyweight. I don't think he's a heavyweight, but once you win the heavyweight tournament, you beat a lot of those guys. But, you know, why not play with both if you can? You know, Bellator, they're letting you pick your destiny a little more. Like UFC, they'll let you win two titles, and then they strip one right away before you even get back to the locker room. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Bellator handles that. And, you know, I think that that makes it more interesting because he's in my division. So walking around as a two-way champion, that's a lot of clout that you have on your shoulders. You know, I've trained with Ryan Bader, and I respect him. I hope that he does win this tournament, and I think that it will only add more juice to the 205 division.
So, I mean, you mentioned it. We finally have some more fights kind of popping up in the late heavyweight division. You had said, and I was going to mention it, Phil Davis taking on Vadim Nemkov, Bellator 209 in November. Any idea when you said fights to be announced, but any idea when we could see you fighting? I mean, Bellator 210, so far all it has is the main event. Could that possibly be a spot for you?
Yeah, you know, as of right now, that's supposed to be where I'm fighting is Bellator 210, you know, right there in Thackerville, an hour away from Dallas. You know, you hit it right on the head. That's I'm hoping that, you know, that's a small town. I don't know what the casino is like, but I know it's one of the smaller venues. And I just, if I do have to go out there and fight, I hope that maybe going into the middle of nowhere will help, you know, get me a spot on a main card. You know what I mean? If that's where I have to go to get my spotlight and show myself on that stage, then so be it. But I don't have an opponent yet. I'm just waiting on that call. I think it's like 6 weeks away from now. So I'm just training and doing my thing. You know, we'll see what happens in the next week or so.
Awesome, Jordan. Well, thanks so much for joining me. Good luck, and hopefully we can hear the fight news here soon. Where can fans find you online? And if you have any sponsors to shout out, let us know.
Yeah, most definitely. So on Instagram is where I'm most prevalent on social media. And you can find me there at JAY185. I'm on Twitter as well at OutTheMudJ205. And, you know, for my sponsors, I would like to first and foremost shout out my team and all my coaches at American Top Team. And then sponsor-wise, I'd like to shout out 8 Man Strong. I'd like to shout out Elite Edge Gyms, J&K Complete Auto Care, Aaron Pouncey. And yeah, I appreciate your time and for giving me an interview.
Had to laugh there because I had a look at the Bellator schedule coming up for the rest of this year. We haven't seen Jordan in the cage since Bellator 201. He got another finish. This time it was in the third round, but had a look. Bellator 210, only one fight on there. You've got Chitty Bang Bang, Joe Kawani taking on Melvin Manhoef. Really looking forward to it. Hopefully we can see Jordan on that card against a top-ranked opponent. I think he really deserves it. He's gone on a tear in Bellator so far and a great start to his young career. So let's get into the interview with Javi Ayala. We spoke briefly about the fight that he has coming up against Frank Mir and how he's preparing for this. I mean, he's fought, like I said, some legends. So let's get right into the interview with Javi. So thanks so much for coming on. So we spoke, you know, trying to set this interview up last week. And I was looking forward to ask you when we could see you back in the cage, and then news broke a few hours later. So when did you find out you're going to be taking on Frank Mir?
I was probably about like the middle of September. I got the call, and my manager actually called me. He's like, "Hey, the matchmaker just hit me up. Do you want to fight Frank Mir?" I was like, "Of course I want to fight Frank Mir. Who wouldn't? You know what I mean? The man's a legend in the sport."
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, it's your fourth legend in a row. A lot of people are putting a lot of emphasis on this, but you had the chance to fight Sergey Kharitonov, Roy Nelson, Chuck Kongo, now Frank Mir. I mean, what's it been like to fight these three guys before Frank Mir?
You know what? It was a great opportunity. I tell people it's kind of like a dream come true. Like, these guys, when I first started off my career, I would watch them fight, and I was like, man, these guys are beasts. Hopefully one day I could get as good as them, and now like I'm fighting them, so it's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely cool for sure. And I mean, we're a ways out from the fight right now, but what's your game plan going to be like concerning training for this fight against Frank Mir?
You know what, Frank's a real tough guy. He's a real well-rounded. Everybody knows his ground game's good, like great. His stand-up's good too. So we're working all parts of the game, working takedown defense. We're working my submission defense. Working a lot of my same striking as I did when I got ready for Roy. A lot of movement, things like that. That way, wherever the fight goes, I feel comfortable.
Yeah, and I mean, that's definitely what we saw in Frank Mir's first fight in Bellator with Fedor. You know, you kind of have to be quite well-rounded to fight a guy like Frank Mir. One more question before I let you go. You know, we had Fedor beating Chael Sonnen on the weekend. You had Ryan Bader beating Matt Mitrione. Who do you see winning the Bellator Heavyweight Grand Prix?
You know what? It's as much as I'm a big fan of Fedor, Ryan Bader is just a beast. This guy is great at pretty much all aspects of the game. His wrestling's, as you can see, he just controlled Matt Mitrione like nothing. So my guess is if Fedor doesn't catch him with a good hit, because everybody knows Fedor could put somebody out. But if he doesn't, I see Ryan Bader grinding him out and winning this fight.
Awesome, Abby. Well, thanks so much for joining me. Good luck getting ready for the Hawaii card in December. Where can the fans find you online? If you have any sponsors to shout out, let us know.
You know what? The fans could look me up either on my Twitter or my Instagram. It's at iCandy Ayala. And my Facebook is just Javier Ayala. Also, I have a few big sponsors. Alonzo Morales from About Millions. He's been taking care of me for a real long time, and anything I need, I get a hold of him. Also, Star Spangled Supplements. They have a great line of CBD products. I've been using them, and they've been working wonders for me. Also, I like to thank my management, my coaches, everybody that's helped me get this far.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Great talking to have you. I mean, how many fighters get to say in their career, in a short career as well, I fought Sergey Kharitonov, I fought Roy Nelson, I fought like Frank Mir? I mean, it's insane the amount of talent and guys. Chuck Kongo, that Javi Ayala has been given the opportunity to fight. Frank Mir coming up in December, the second card in Hawaii. Really looking forward to that. Bellator has been having a great year so far. Next card's coming up in about a month, in November, from Tel Aviv, Israel, and it's going to be great. So before I get moving any further, I'd like to shout out my sponsors, First Row Collectibles and Sisu Mouth Guards. So if you head on over to firstrow.ca, they're a collectibles memorabilia company out of Winnipeg, Manitoba, up here in Canada. So to our American listeners, keep in mind, you're going to be saving roughly 24-25% if you make an order with First Row. And if you head on over to their website right now, firstrow.ca, they've got plenty of hockey cards, baseball cards, old wrestling memorabilia, MMA memorabilia and signed pictures and whatnot. There's old issues of Sports Illustrated. There's so many great things over there. I had a conversation with the owner, Curtis Housen, quite a while ago, back in one of the first episodes. So if you head on over to First Row, you're going to find some neat items. Use the promo code FNP to receive free shipping on your order. And like I said, to all the American listeners out there, you're going to be saving roughly 24-25% on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouth Guards. I've had a Sisu Mouth Guard for a number of years now. Reached out to them quite a while ago. And no word of a lie, the one game of hockey that I didn't wear my mouth guard, I lost one of my front teeth. It cost me a lot of time away from work. It cost me roughly $1,000 in, time spent away, but as well, getting a crown put on my front tooth. And, it was just a pain. So make sure you wear your mouth guard. Head on over to their website. It's sisuguard.com. Use promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order. And from June of this year until June of next year, the sale of every junior and Aero style yellow mouth guard will be 10% will be donated to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, which is a National Childhood Cancer Research Center in the States, a foundation that, you know, I'm definitely putting Fight Night Picks behind. You know, it's really important. Everybody out there, I'm sure, has had a loved one go through, you know, some sort of cancer treatment. So for me, it's really important. So make sure you head on over to sisuguard.com. You're buying yellow mouth guard, Aero or junior style. Use the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order. And that again, it's Sisu mouth guards, and they're really thin. They're great boil and bite mouth guards. They have a $32,000 1-year dental warranty. If you incur, you know, any damage while you're wearing the mouth guard, it's definitely a great product for sure. So let's get into the interview with Alan Murphy. We talked about KSW 45, KSW 46, some of the interesting things that are going on with the Polish MMA promotion. So here's Alan. Alan, thanks so much for joining me. Thanks so much for coming back on the show. KSW 45, man, what a show. October 6th started around 1 p.m. Eastern here in North America. Didn't interfere with UFC 229 that was going on later on in the evening. So, I mean, what was it like, the mood at Wembley?
Yeah, it's always interesting. Oh, first of all, thanks for having me back on. But it's always interesting having a KSW event abroad. This is my first KSW is in Dublin, my hometown. So I've done KSW events in Ireland, Poland, and now England. It's always interesting because although you're in England, you're practically in Poland because the amount of fans there. So all the Polish fighters are getting like home support essentially. So that's like, yeah, it was very interesting there. The Polish fans are more into KSW than they are UFC. It's a bigger brand, of course. But yeah, there was a big buzz around the arena. It was a pretty cool event.
Yeah, like I couldn't believe the amount of support for the Polish fighters that were there. And it was crazy. I mean, it seemed like a more, you know, Polish crowd than it was an English crowd.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I'd say probably 70% Polish.
Yeah. So, I mean, great fights all together. I got off the plane, headed to the house as quick as possible. It was kind of an unconventional Saturday for me. But looking at the fights and the ones that we had, a couple of title fights, and I mean, we had Roberto Soldic taking on Dricus du Plessis. What do you see as being next for these two guys?
Oh, I don't know. It's that fight was incredible. Just their first fight was incredible. Their second fight was incredible. Like, it's just, I could watch them two fight each other for the rest of their careers. I think every fight is going to be different. You're going to have a different outcome for every fight. Yeah, what's next for them? I'm not too sure. Both guys were pretty banged up after that fight. I was talking to both of them in the hotel. Dricus didn't even come down for a drink. He was just hobbling around. He was in a bad way. Roberto was in a bad way. And Dricus was, he was hobbling around in the bar afterwards. But yeah, what's next for both of them? I'm not too sure. I think both of them probably need a bit of a break after this, maybe from each other. But Roberto got an immediate rematch. So maybe Dricus wants an immediate rematch, and I don't know. I think we still have to talk to both guys and their managers and see what's for them. I know Dricus still holds the EFC welterweight and middleweight titles, so I'm not too sure. But whatever's next for them, it's still going to be big, like, for both men.
I mean, highly competitive welterweight matchup, and then at the same time, you have the start of the middleweight tournament. So I mean, Scott Ashcombe won his fight against Marcin Wojcik. You had Michael Matrala taking on Janikowski. I mean, when do you think that we're going to be able to see the finals for this tournament?
I think early 2019, maybe the first event.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what month, but I think probably the first event of 2019. It will be early 2019 anyway.
So not KSW 46, yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, it's a quick turnaround, I think. KSW 46 is only in a few weeks. It's less than 2 months. So you got to give guys a bit of warning and a bit of time to recover. If we were to book the final for KSW 46, it's taking a lot of risk that one of the guys would be injured, and we don't want that. Because you don't know what's going to happen in the fight to a guy who could have a bad cut. Early 2019, that final, that's going to be an amazing rematch. Like, because the first fight ended so quickly that you didn't get to see what material I had to offer and ask him. Just another liver kick knockout. That's
I mean, he's on a roll right now. I'm really looking forward to it. So I said, I mean, it was a pretty unconventional Saturday for me. Typically, you know, spend it at home, watch, you know, KSW, watch an event at night. That's normally how it goes. But I was on vacation. Like I said, got off the plane. We got to the house. And the fight that the group that I watched it with was particularly invested in was co-main event between Popek and Erko Yoon. I mean, that was a great fight. They enjoyed it. It was something they didn't expect. I mean, they had no idea what to expect with KSW. So I'm sure you've been asked about this more or less since it's been announced. And it keeps blowing up all over the internet. But Martin Ford, what was it like standing up next, like close to him?
Yeah, that's I was looking forward to this so long. We've been talking to Martin for a while. I reached out to him and his manager, and we started talking probably about 2 months ago before the event. He'd expressed an interest in coming into MMA. And I was busy cage side running around. And then next while I get a tap on the shoulder, and Martin Lewandowski pointed over and was like, "Oh, the guys want to meet you," because I've been speaking to them via the internet for so long. And so getting to meet them face to face, he's a big man. Yeah. He's so big. He is ridiculously big. I think he's 6'8", probably 300 plus pounds. He might have dropped a few pounds since he started his MMA training, as opposed to like being solely focused on weight. But yeah, I'm just so excited to see what he can do in the cage, and it's just his transition into MMA as well. It's more than a story of, oh, this big muscle guy is going to try MMA. He's actually genuinely focused on moving into MMA, and he's changing up his training, and he's coming in with a distinct disadvantage. People think muscles get you somewhere in the sport. They don't. They're actually a hindrance, like, because your cardio suffers. So I'm actually kind of curious to see how he will do and how he approaches, or how he puts his preparation into the actual cage. Like, and yeah, it's going to be cool.
Do we have any sort of timetable as to when we could see him in the cage?
Early 2019 as well. We have to kind of work everything out. He's a busy guy as well. He's acting all the time, and he's traveling, and he's trying to like fix in or put in his MMA training whenever he can. Early 2019, I'd say within the first half of the year, for sure.
Early 2019 shaping up to be great for KSW.
Yeah, that's two big fights now, early 2019.
So as far as 45 was concerned, again, I mean, main event, you had former champ Carol Badoff taking on Phil DeFries. I had the opportunity to speak with Phil back in August. And I mean, he's been over the moon just competing for KSW, loves it. And he looked great in that fight.
Yeah, that's the best I've seen Phil look. He was the underdog coming in against Andrusak when he won the title. And he was the underdog coming into this fight, and I don't think he should be the underdog anymore. He's a different fighter than when he was. As I said before, I watched him fight in the UFC against Matt Mitrione in Sweden, and he's just surprised everyone. Like, and just we're happy to have him, and he's such a nice guy as well. Like, it's, as you know, like he's just a cool guy. So yeah, he's it's gonna be tough for anyone to take the title off him. That was such a good win over Badoff. And Badoff is no slouch at all. Like, and yeah, he surprised me again, Phil did.
The group I was with, again, I mean, they were so surprised by the co-main, and they thought, well, geez, I mean, what could be coming up in the main event? And I said, no, you know, I talked to Phil. He's a consummate professional. Carol's a great fighter, so this should be a great fight. And they were super invested in that as well. So it went great. KSW 45 in general, great event. I mean, the fan reaction on social media was overwhelmingly positive. And like I said, I mean, KSW 46 on the horizon, scheduled for December 1st from Poland. What can fans expect with the upcoming card?
Yeah, it's another high quality card. I don't think there's the fun fight or the freak show element to this card. But like the main event, the rematch between Khalilov and Narkun, their first fight from earlier this year, it's probably going to be in any fight of the year candidate nomination list from many out there around the world. That first fight was incredible. Yeah, we'll put it up on the KSW YouTube page in the weeks leading up to the rematch. So that's just going to be nuts. Then Matthias Gamrot, lightweight champion, undefeated. He's stepping down to featherweight to fight for the vacant featherweight title against the former champ, Kleber Kuika Erbs. Kleber is 20 and ones over the past decade. He's probably the most underrated featherweight in the world. He has 20 career submissions. Like, he's a beast. He's a beast. He's kind of like Machida of the grappling world. He has that Brazilian and Japanese heritage, and that's gonna be an interesting fight because I have no idea. January, you kind of might have an inkling of how a fight will go, but this has so many different variables, like Gamrot stepping down and Claiborne just being incredibly hard to beat, and Gamrot being a grappler, how will he deal with Claiborne's jiu-jitsu? And it's going to be a great fight. What else is on the card? Saladin Pernas, undefeated French kid. He's I call him the French sensation. For any press release I send out, he's a French sensation. He's brilliant. He's fighting Marcin Jozsek, who was on Team McGregor in The Ultimate Fighter. He's a former champ as well. So, yeah, those three fights alone are just top quality fights.
It's really coming together. It seems like the press releases are coming out a couple of weeks so far right now, getting into KSW 46. I'm really looking forward to it. Alan, thanks so much for joining me again. Where can MMA fans find you online? And, you know, what can they look forward to from the promotion coming up later on 2018, early on 2019? I mean, you gave us some secrets, maybe some fights that we could look forward to, but what can we expect?
Yeah, well, first of all, you can catch me on Alan Murphy MMA on Twitter, Alan Murphy KSW on Instagram. Follow KSW on Twitter at KSW MMA, KSW on Instagram. 2019 is shaping up to be a big year for us. We have a couple of events, maybe outside of Poland, that are in the works, as well as like some big events in Poland. Just continue to rise, KSW. That's what it is. Like, so hopefully you all tuned in and join us. Join the team, as Chris Oyden says.
100%. Great to have Alan back on the show. Really looking forward to what KSW has coming up later on this year, as well as in early 2019. It seems to be a great time to be a fan of the Polish MMA promotion. So that just about does us here with this episode of Fight Night Picks. I'm your host, Craig Allen. You can find me again on Twitter and Instagram at Craig Allen FNP. Next week, it's going to be a special week for Fight Night Picks fans because I'm going to be live on location in Moncton for UFC Moncton. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going nuts inside. It's going to be great. I mean, last time the UFC was featured here in the Maritimes. Where is it? Right there behind me, Lewis and Brown. And it was a great card. So looking forward to this one. Had the chance to speak with Volkan Oezdemir as well as Anthony Smith. So you're going to get to see some special content coming out from Fight Night Picks. And don't forget, tomorrow, October 19th, Ty O'Keefe and I on Dialogue, we're going to be hosting a special micro event focusing on bare knuckle boxing. We have great guests, including Tony Kryptonite Lopez. Ton of success and a very long career in MMA, also featured on Bare Knuckle FC's first card, and he was all over the internet. Maurice Gorilla Jackson, boxer as well as MMA fighter, and he has also been featured in Bare Knuckle Boxing as well. Christina Marks, she's going to be on the same card as Irish Brennan Ward and Johnny Hendricks, featured on season 26 of The Ultimate Fighter, and Jeff Houston, ring announcer for Bare Knuckle FC. And Bare Knuckle FC 3 is coming up on Saturday from Biloxi, Mississippi, so make sure you check that out. Jeff's also featured on ACB. He also does work with Road FC, and he was also on Fight Night Picks way back in the spring. So really looking forward to having all these great guests on and being on Dialogue. It's been a lot of fun. You can check out the shows there. So for me, Craig Allen, this has been another great episode of Fight Night Picks, and hopefully you can join me later on in the week and later on next week as well with UFC Moncton content. So we'll see you again next week.